Hello and welcome to New Matter, the SLAS podcast where we interview life science luminaries. Today we welcome an SLAS 2022 Innovation Avenue company and new product award winner, Kibotics, to join us to talk about their new technology. Christoph Kreisbeck, Chief Commercial Officer at Kibotics, is joining us today. Welcome, Christoph.
Hey, Hannah, and thanks for having me. It's really a pleasure being here.
Oh, pleasure is ours. So, Christoph, we're going to kick off today by asking you to describe what Kibotics does in 10 words or less.
Yeah, so overarching, I would say Kibotics accelerates materials innovation, and we work with materials user to solve unmet sustainability needs.
Oh, very good. That's really cool. And so as part of those goals, and you have a new product called Reaction Sage. Could you tell us a little bit, what exactly is Reaction Sage?
Of course, but also please allow me to embed this question a little bit in the bigger context of Kibotics. So overarching, we participate in the full cycle of materials development. So our secret sauce is actually our technology platform where we combine artificial intelligence and lab automation. So our technology brings R&D units to the next level by providing a tightly integrated closed loop design, make, test, discovery process. So in this way, we converge to the desired target materials quicker. And our aspiration is to cut development cycles from 3 to 8 years down to 6 to 12 months. And now coming back a little bit to your question. So what is Reaction Sage? So Reaction Sage is an essential piece in the make part of this design, make, test loop. And usually we evaluate millions of materials ideas. And usually we have small molecule-based materials. And we use computer models, machine learning predictions to identify the high performers. And those high performers are then prioritized for experimental testing. However, at this point, the system does not yet tell our scientists how to make these molecules. And now this is where Reaction Sage comes in. So Reaction Sage is a software system based on artificial intelligence that gives us the recipes how to make these molecules, our so-called reaction routes. So as a chemist, or in general, you can think of Reaction Sage as being your sidekick who was exposed to hardcore chemistry training on 30 million reactions and has now developed the world's best intuition of how to make new molecules. So that's pretty valuable resource to tap into as an organic chemist.
Absolutely. Sounds like the best lab mate that you could have in a chemistry lab.
Certainly, yes.
So for some of our listeners who might be less familiar with this field, could you describe maybe a little bit, what are these routes in chemistry and why is it so important to identify them as quickly as possible?
Yeah, sure. So as I said before, on the highest level, direction routes are step-by-step recipes for how to make molecules. But more specifically, a reaction route is a sequence of chemical reaction steps that transform chemicals that we can purchase off the shelf into our desired molecule, which is new. So it's not so complicated, but actually it's not so trivial to come up with these routes, because as a chemist, we always have to think backwards. So we start with our desired molecules, and then we need to search for the sequence of these reaction steps in the hope that we ultimately will reach some starting materials that we can purchase. But unfortunately, at each step, there are so many possibilities that's not always clear which one we should take. And often actually we run into dead ends where we fail to bring it back to a purchasable endpoint. And then we're in a situation where we have to unfortunately abandon our chemical, which may have been the next blockbuster chemical, which may have been the next generation pharmaceutical, just because we couldn't find the reaction route. And so we don't even know where to start in the synthesis lab. So we don't know how to synthesize it. So we have to go to the next molecule.
Wow. So I am not a chemist. My background is in biology. And so I would like to learn a little bit more about, you know, what is the process like for trying to discover these routes without Reaction Sage there to kind of guide you through? Where would a chemist even begin trying to determine these routes?
Yeah, again, like this is the challenge that chemists are facing. You look at a new molecule and then you have to, you know, you're trained a little bit in your training of when you do organic chemistry classes to take this, what they call retrosynthesis, which means going backward in the synthesis pathway analysis. And you try to remember what you've learned, what could be potential transformation. Sometimes chemists have their own strategy that they develop over the years of their experience, but in the end it's challenging. And often they need to go also to the literature and see what's possible. And again, it's kind of, you know, often they just like don't know how to make these molecules and have to move on and take the next one.
That must be so frustrating to know that you have a molecule that exists that will do what you want, but just not knowing how to get there.
Actually, it is, and it's not only frustrating often for the chemist who have to synthesize it, but also like the often in especially in drug discovery, there's a computation modeling team that actually comes up with these new ideas for new molecules. It's the same way as we do our design actually. And then yeah, you give the chemist a molecule for the lab for testing with the excitement, as you mentioned, like this could be actually my lead candidate. I'm so glad that I found something that satisfies all the target properties, and it turns out that you cannot make it, which is a frustration for the computation modeling team, but also for the chemist, because the chemist will say like, hey, computation modeling team, give us molecules that we can actually make. Why do you always present us the complicated ones? Give us the simpler ones. So that's a challenge.
Well, it's always the complicated ones that are the most interesting and probably the most valuable, right?
Of course, that's Murphy's Law, right? Always the complicated the thing that is the most exciting one.
So thank you so much for giving me a little bit of that background. So what it was the process like for creating Reaction Sage? You kind of talked a little bit about, now I understand, you know, why this product is so important. What was the process like in developing Reaction Sage?
Yeah, here I would actually also bring this question a little bit back in what inspired us in order to make this product. And the overarching inspiration came actually outside of the chemical space. It came from successes in artificial intelligence and language translation. And also, for example, Google's algorithm that outperformed the world's champion in playing Go. So our goal as a thought was then, like, if artificial intelligence succeeds in these complicated tasks, there must be an angle of how we can use these powerful algorithms to help us scientists succeed in our chemistry tasks. So that's the big motivation why we started doing this. And in the end also, as I mentioned, these technologies, we actually use them. So for example, use language translation. This is how we represent the transformation of our chemistry steps. And we use parts of this AlphaGo algorithm to navigate, again, as I mentioned, the sheer endless combinations of how chemicals can react. And it's not clear which one will terminate with purchasable feedstock. So similar to playing Go, where the AI identifies the next moves that we should take to get to our winning strategy. Similarly, for this reaction planning, the AI can help us to say, tell us, hey, this is the next reaction that you should apply to your molecule in order to get to your winning reaction route. So that's, again, like the inspiration came from these new opportunities of AI. And actually, in my opinion, I feel that we as an industry have just started to scratch the surface of what is possible with these new opportunities.
Yeah, that's fantastic to see those connections and see how it would translate into the chemistry sphere.
Yes, definitely. And reaction prediction, as I mentioned, is only one aspect. So there's many more, like generating new molecules in discovery using generative models similar to text generation and image generation. So there's a whole universe that is opening up for us as chemists and material scientists to benefit from these technologies to succeed in our task, do better, and actually be fast in the discovery cycles, which is something we really need, because now there's sustainability needs, and we have to find solutions to them very quickly.
Yeah. Are there any specific challenges that come along with trying to adapt a sort of concept in AI or machine learning that was developed for one field and then try to take those similar ideas and concepts, but then adapt them to a completely different field?
Yeah, there's two aspects to it. Number one, for the developing team, they now need to bring two worlds together, right? They need to understand AI, but also they need to understand their domain, which is chemistry and material science, and then, you know, merge these things. And there's lots of actually efforts going on in academia. So actually now scientists, postdocs, PhD students get more used to using these tools. In industry, you have a second problem, or it's not a problem, it's more a challenge. It's you need to invest in change management, because how to apply these tools takes a little bit a different mindset. So you have to learn how to use these tools to be most effective in their applications.
Have you come up with a lot of resistance in researchers when it comes to using Reaction Sage?
I would not say resistance, but there's, of course, two different sets of people. The one, especially the younger ones, who are super excited. They understand, hey, this is the future. This is the route that we need to go as a company. They're also digital natives, right? The new employees, they are used to digital technologies. But then you also have these older ones. They are used that they have 20 years of experience solving these complicated challenges as this reaction planning, right? I mentioned that it takes a lot of expertise and experience to come up with these routes. So they are a little bit more skeptical, say like, hey, it took me 20 years to understand how to come up with reaction routes. How can now an algorithm tell me how to do it? So I think there's these two different sets of people, but in the end, it's up to us, the startups, to explain, hey, how to use it and to show the proof points. And usually once scientists see the value of the tools, then they are sold, I should say.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, speaking of which, what are some of the data inputs that a researcher would need to get started using Reaction Sage to get that process going?
Now, that's a bit the beauty of Reaction Sage. Instead of, you know, other machine learning models where you have to collect a lot of data, we already have the data and trained the model on 30 million reactions. So for those users now, it's just like he does need to do nothing, just upload your molecule that you want to synthesize, and that's it.
Wow. So easy.
That's yeah. Awesome. So again, like it's meant to be simple. It's meant to be your sidekick, but it's not meant to replace a chemist. It's meant to support a chemist.
Great. So what types of research do you think that Reaction Sage is ideal for?
Yeah, generally it's ideal whenever you need to synthesize a molecule, which could be in discovery stage, as I mentioned, where you want to identify a molecule and validate in the lab that this is a champion molecule. But this could be also in the scale-up and process chemistry, where you're interested in getting a lot of optionalities, just like, hey, this is the route that's commercial viable. This can go in large-scale production. And applications generally can range also for a wide range of industry sectors. For example, active ingredients for agrochemicals, pharmaceuticals, but application can be also found, for example, in optoelectronics. If you think about OLEDs, these are small molecules that make your display beautiful and bright and colorful. So again, like it's pretty general. And as I said, whenever chemists need to synthesize a molecule, then Reaction Sage will provide value.
Do you have any examples of products that have resulted from a Reaction Sage identified route?
Yeah, again, here I need to bring back this answer a little bit in the bigger context of the Cobotics design make test process, because Reaction Sage was one aspect of the make step in the process. But we have a lot of successes using the full process. For example, in one of our customer projects, we were successful in identifying novel fluorescent dyes for endosynthesis routes, of course, for bioimaging applications. And here the project saved our customers' R&D team a full year. And that's big for them, right? Because now they can go to market 1 year ahead of the schedule and gives them a significant edge over their competition. But it's only one example of many. So in a similar way, actually, we have our internal materials development program, and we use the same technologies to quickly progress our own discovery programs. And we go from project start to filing patents in less than 2 months. So that's a huge accomplishment. And again, Reaction Sage here is the critical part in the make aspect, because now we can ensure that we focus our efforts on molecules that we know that are easy to synthesize. And remember what I told you before, that in a traditional approach is like, yeah, sometimes the computational chemists give the organic chemists very complicated to synthesize molecules. Now we can prioritize actually the easier ones. So we go now well-informed into our lab when we actually synthesize our best performers that we identified throughout this computational design phases.
So have there been any molecules that you put into Reaction Sage and it basically comes out saying either it can't come up with how to create it, it can't come up with the route, or the route is kind of impossible to produce at this stage in the game with the technology we have?
So number one, it will try to give you, of course, the full answer, full route that terminates, but sometimes this is true. Sometimes even the Reaction Sage cannot really identify all steps that are needed to converge in something that we can purchase. So it will terminate as an endpoint that we cannot readily buy. That's one thing. Then the other aspect of your question is sort of, you know, will it give you some routes that are not viable with the current technology? And here the answer is more like it will give you more likely routes that will be able to be done with the current technology. So it will maybe fail instead of giving you something that's, I would say, that I don't want to use the word garbage, but that's not viable at this point. But still, we added some capabilities because it's an AI. It's not just memorizing reactions. So it still can go outside of the existing class of reactions and can come up with new chemistries. But we purposely bias the system to stay closer to what we can do right now in the lab, because we want to make sure that we add value to the chemist today, not maybe in 5 years.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. So Reaction Sage actually can identify what sorts of reactions are feasible to perform and will can filter out the routes that it knows can't be done right now. Is that correct?
Exactly. And this is true because our reaction sage tool knows how certain it is that this reaction will actually happen. So it will give actually the chemist a likelihood that this route is, you know, likely to be synthesizable with existing technologies with 95%. And we have done some benchmarks. And when the system tells you, hey, I'm confident, then you can be sure that it works. And especially for the high confidence route, you can be sure that you hit this 95% success rate. So usually the predictions work quite well and we can trust them. But again, I want to mention that we also can go outside into more risky routes where the model says, hey, I'm 50% confident. And then it's up to the chemist who can then decide, okay, do I want to stay more on the conservative end and, you know, discard this route? Or am I willing to take a bit of risks with the benefit that I may come up with a route that discovers some new chemistries?
Well, that's amazing. So I wonder, would it be possible to kind of adapt the reaction stage a little bit for, you know, different labs may have different technologies available to them. So if there's a lab that maybe doesn't have access to all the resources, could they tell reaction stage, you know, this is what I have at my disposal. Can you give me a route that I can produce with what I have available to me?
So that's a question where I say yes and no. So because at some point it's possible, but not implemented. But I can tell you what is implemented, for example, in terms of the feedstock. So you can upload a certain list of feedstock that's available to you, because sometimes maybe as in a production, you want to only go to a certain price level, or maybe you want to go to more greener feedstock in these aspects. So this is possible today. In terms of preferring chemical transformations that are closer to what you can do today, at this point, it's not possible because we trained it already on 13 million reactions, and this is the whole patent landscape and what we found in literature. But of course, you can also train the models based on your institutional data. So then you can actually tailor the system towards exactly the chemistry that you feel very confident in your organization. You can do that. We have not done it, but it's possible since this is an AI. That's the beauty again of machine learning, that you can train it based on your domain expertise or your institutional data.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And it sounds like it has a lot of potential to then also be able to grow with the technology as more technology becomes available. You know, you can adapt this reaction stage to then incorporate that into its formulas, huh?
Of course. And that's again like the advantage of machine learning. This is why we call it learning. Now the algorithm has the ability to learn with each new experiment that comes in. Even if you give it feedback like, hey, this route was not viable, then it goes back and learns from that. If there's new technologies, if there's new reactions, hey, you put it in, you retrain the model, and now we know that now we have advances in technology. So yes, of course, and this is also what we do. So we have some databases that get updated every year. So we retrain on a regular basis.
That's great. How accurate is reaction stage? You said that it gives you kind of predictions of, you know, I think you've got a 50% chance of this route working or a 98% chance. Have you done tests to see just how accurate those predictions are?
Yes, we have done benchmarks. And as I mentioned, like if the reaction stage tells you I'm confident with a 90% likelihood, then in our benchmarks that we have done, we see that we get this above 95% of success rates. And so far we have covered, I think, I need to remember the exact numbers, but I think 70% of the chemical space that we covered with our benchmark were predicted as high performance or high likelihood routes above of 85% success rate. So that's pretty solid. So we cover most of the reactions chemical space very accurately with the tool.
Wow. And this may be a difficult question to answer, and I'll try to word it in a not confusing way, but I'm curious what percentage of the reactions come up with a high likelihood of success versus low. And you said that you can kind of adapt that to change the percentage success that you can output. So this might not be a very easily answerable question, but I'm curious if there is like a ratio. Does it often come out with a 98 or 95% success rate, or is it very common to see a lower, you know, like 70% success rate?
Yeah, again, here the answer, you may not like it because it's again, depends on the complexity of the molecule. Like sometimes we see 5 or 10 rounds with high likelihood of success different and diverse, because this is also how we bias the output. And sometimes we will not find any route, and sometimes we find a route that's maybe a 50% likelihood, and that's it. So it's kind of, it depends, depending on the complexity of the molecule and depending how likely it is that this molecule that we have at hand can be done with chemistries that reaction sage understands well.
Are you at all concerned that reaction sage could potentially miss a valuable route when it's performing its analysis that could then potentially, you know, either cost people money where they're doing a less desirable route, or, you know, how is that a concern for you at all, that there might be routes that reaction sage is missing?
Yeah, I mean, missing routes, that's always a concern of organic chemists. And it's also a concern for them when they come up with their own reaction routes. So the question always will be, did they miss something important? So I think we cannot solve this actually, because also reaction stage doesn't really give a guarantee that we capture all possible routes, but it will definitely fill gaps and will definitely complement the list of routes that we as expert scientists come up with.
So not perfect, but better than what we currently have.
Yes, better what we have, not perfect. And this is true, I would say, for all artificial intelligence tools. Don't expect that they will replace us. Don't expect that they will be magically come up with all the solutions and answers that we ask them. But you should expect that they will help you in your day job, and they will make you better, and they will help you produce better outcomes.
Excellent. And that's all you can ask sometimes. Because, yeah, I think it's always important to keep in mind that the artificial intelligence, it's limited by what we know to a certain extent as well. So it can't, you know, there's certain gaps that I don't think it can quite fill.
Yeah, it's exactly, it's both. I mean, like, it's, you know, it has some ability to, of course, go outside a little bit of what we know, so it can extrapolate and find something new. At the same time, of course, it also cannot, you know, solve the most challenging problems just with one shot. So you also have to retrain it. You have to also give it a chance that it can come up with an idea. Then you test it, you bring it back. This is why we have our design make test cycle, actually, because the first round of predictions may not be perfect. We do a second round, we do a third round, and then the AI will understand, hey, this is a best performing reaction route, or this is a best performing material.
Absolutely. In your mind, are there any particular applications for reaction sage that aren't currently being utilized?
Yeah, there might be, of course, several opportunities that we don't use reaction sage yet for, which are outside of the main applications for providing the reliable reaction routes. So one application which actually we identified with one of our beta testers was to identify byproducts. So the beta tester was using reaction sage to predict potential reaction outcomes. And this revealed actually the structure of a byproduct with which the customer was struggling for years and wasn't able to identify what it was. And then the second application, also something already touched a little bit, which is tied to this biofeedstock, right? Like, we can use reaction sage also in forward mode, which means once we give it the feedstock, we can predict what chemical space it can reach with this feedstock. And that's interesting if you think about, again, these renewable resources and the biofeedstock, because now reaction sage can tell companies what potential application they could attack using these sustainable resources. So now, besides solving our sustainability challenges, now this could obviously also be of significant relevance for competitive advantages and open even game-changing business opportunities for customers.
Yeah, that's really cool. Is reaction sage widely available currently? Can researchers get it and use it right now?
Yes, it's available. So we have opened it actually for our customers. We had just closed our first beta test program, and now we are ready to bring this to the market and have our full launch.
Wonderful. If a researcher is interested in using reaction sage, what are some of the major things that they would need to know before they get started?
Now, again, as I mentioned, there's not much you need to know. It's basically get access to the tools, draw the molecule, and that's it. So it's not so much different what you see as output. Chemists are used to how the reaction routes look like. So that's actually pretty simple. And many of our beta users started seeing value within 30 minutes of their first login. So that's not
wow. Now, you had mentioned that at Kibotics, you've got, you know, you're more than just reaction sage. You also work on discovering these new molecules, et cetera. Do you have any services available that can serve as a complement to reaction sage?
Yes. So as you mentioned, like, Kibotics is positioned very broadly with all kinds of discovery and innovation services. So our overarching theme is indeed, as I started with the 10 words or less statement, we want to accelerate innovation to solve the most urgent needs of materials, especially for sustainability. So yes, we provide services around materials development. We also provide services around how to use these new technologies to help companies get started. Yes, so we are very broad in that aspect.
What future advances, if any, are you hoping to make with 3Action Sage?
Yeah, currently we have two. One is, again, tied to the broader context. So we want to put and integrate 3Action Sage a little bit deeper into our computational design pipeline for new materials. Instead of being just a standalone tool, now we want to add all these other tools for the computational screening of new molecules into it. And also we target also to expand 3Action Sage to new classes of materials, and this is organometallics, and this is a small molecule that contains a metal. And this unfortunately requires a little bit of different technologies. It's not just a molecule with a molecule, but now the metal makes some differences. But it's very important because relevant applications are catalysis.
Well, that's very interesting. Do you have anything that you want to add that we didn't cover today that you want to talk about, whether it for Cobotics or 3Action Sage, something that you're excited about that you want to highlight?
No, overarching, like I think we covered a lot of good questions. Again, I would just highlight that Cobotics is always open to, you know, get access to actual problem statements of our customer, to actual material science challenges, where we can help customers to succeed in their programs using these new technologies. So if you're open-minded and just want to know, hey, how can these new technologies benefit me in my day job, but you're not sure, then just reach out to us, because usually we help customers figure out how to use these technologies. That's actually part of my job. That's how I see my job, to help customers identify opportunities for these new technologies.
Great. Well, unfortunately, that's about all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us, Christoph. We look forward to seeing you at future SLAS events, and we really look forward to seeing where Cobotics and 3Action Sage go in the future.
It was my pleasure, and thanks again, Hannah.